Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Impacting Your World. Thanking God for your lives as always. Let us begin our day with these Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to give you praise, to give you all the glory and honor. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done for us this week. We thank you for allowing us to see yet another day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are grateful to you for all that you continue to do, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us and daily loading us with benefits. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new day by day. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious sacrifice that you did, you sacrificed on the cross for us. We thank you that you died for our sins and bore our sicknesses, and therefore we know that by your stripes we are the healed and not the sick. We thank you, Jesus, that your precious blood speaks of better things for us than the blood of Abel. And so we plead your blood over ourselves, our families, and everything, and everyone whom you've blessed us with in this life. We're grateful to you, Jesus, as you continue to intercede for us as you sit at the right hand of the Father. We are thanking you right now. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our homes. We welcome you into our lives. We say thank you because you are our teacher, our friend, our guide. You are our everything, and we thank you for teaching us how to pray. We thank you for teaching us how to live and be obedient to the word of the Lord. And so we say thank you this morning as you pray alongside us, as we pray the Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, over ourselves. For this reason also, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Father God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And Father, we thank you that you've delivered us and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this, we are grateful. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this week we've been talking about following God's plan for your life, and there's so much more that I can share with you, but I wanted to conclude today with talking about what God has said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. Prior to that, he says in verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Amen. And so he says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So God here is speaking to us basically about, you know, provision. God wants to provide for us. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't want us to be experiencing lack. He doesn't want anything missing in our lives. He doesn't want anything to be broken in our lives. God is a good God. I mean, he's always, you know, wanting his goodness to follow us. He wants to, you know, show us his goodness, to show us who he is. And a lot of times when you're going through a situation, especially when you're following God's plan for your life, it's not going to be an easy thing, because the enemy is going to be right there to try to throw you off track. And, you know, there's just, you know, there's testings that, you know, come along alongside for you to grow. In order for you to grow, there'll be things that, you know, you will test your faith. And so you have to be willing to go through those tests and to pass those tests to go to the next level. It's like in life, you know, when you go to school, you don't just move up from grade to grade unless you pass. You don't move from, you know, kindergarten unless you pass. You don't move from, you know, high school to go to college unless you pass. Even in college, you don't graduate unless you pass. You see, so there's always tests in life, just like, you know, in the things of God, there'll always be tests as well. There'll be places where God needs to test us. And sometimes we mistaken those testings with God not wanting to be good to us. But that's not true. God is always thinking about us. God always wants to be good to us. He wants to show us his goodness. In fact, he desires that as his children, that we live, you know, in the best lands. He wants us to enjoy life. In fact, Jesus in John 10:10 said, "I came that they might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows." So God's desire is for you and I to live life in abundance. And Jesus says, that's one of the reasons I came, so that you could live life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, again, in life, there'll be moments when you will be tested, but you have to be willing and obedient to do whatever it is God is asking you to do. If you look at Abraham's life, when God had blessed him so much and, you know, he's going on with his life, he's gotten the child of promise that he, you know, in his old age, he and Sarah, the God's word had been fulfilled. Because God is faithful, he always fulfills his promises, no matter how long it takes. Yes, for Abraham and Sarah, it took 25 years. But if you recall, in the midst of that, Sarah decided to do plan B and birth an Ishmael. And so again, many times when we're waiting upon the Lord, we get frustrated. We don't want to wait long. We just try to do things our own way when God hasn't told us. We haven't acknowledged him. You know, some Proverbs 3, verse 3 through 5, it talks about how we need to acknowledge God. First, it says, trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You need to memorize that scripture so that it's always on the forefront of your mind. Trust in the Lord. No matter what it may look like out on the outside, you have to trust in the Lord. Then, you know, lean not onto your own understanding. So your own understanding may say, do this, do that, or do it this way. Come up with plan B like Sarah did. Well, no, don't lean onto that. You need to, you know, lean onto the Holy Spirit. Go to God and say, Lord, should I do this? Holy Spirit, is this what I need to do? That's why it's important for you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then it says that in all your ways, acknowledge him. So no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, you've got to acknowledge God. Well, Lord, I want to take this step. Well, Lord, I need to do this. And if he says no, then don't do it. Well, we look at Abraham when after the Bible even says in Genesis 22, after these things, you know, after he had been blessed and the child of promise was born and everything. And it was a while after, because the boy now was able to talk and walk by himself. The Lord tested Abraham. So, yeah, there'll be times, you know, at a certain point in your life, God will test you, you know, as he's taking you higher, he will test you. Before he could bless Abraham, you know, more than he had blessed him, because we know that he had already been blessed. If you look at Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says that, you know, this man was so blessed, he was so wealthy. In fact, when God told him in Genesis 12 to leave his mother and his father's house, he told him to go to a place where he would show him. And he said, you know, there I will bless you abundantly with an abundant increase of favors and all that stuff. Well, chapter 13, verse 1 says, so Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south country of Judah and the Negev. Verse 2 says, now Abraham was extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. So we see one chapter over, he's extremely rich. So it's not like Abraham lacked anything. After Lot left him, after the strife situation, and Lot chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and now after Lot had left, God now says to Abraham, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I'll give to you and to your posterity. Again, God is wanting to bless Abraham. You know, he already, we are told, he was extremely rich, but then he wants to bless him even more. When his son Isaac is born, he's already, you know, born in a wealthy family, extremely wealthy family. His father is extremely wealthy, but yet God still wants to continue blessing his child, Isaac. You know, we know that even God gave a strategy to Jacob after Laban had cheated him several times, changed his wages several times. God still wanted to bless him, yet his grandfather was extremely wealthy. Then his dad was also super wealthy, because we are told in Genesis 26, you know, after Abraham had, in fact, before we even get to 26, in 22, Genesis 22, we're told that Abraham, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him to take his child, you know, to sacrifice. So God wanted to see if Abraham was willing to give him a sacrificial offering. Many times this is where we miss it as Christians. We're going through some difficulty, but we don't want to give God a sacrificial offering. That's a sacrifice. And a sacrifice always results in multiplication and increase, because we see that here Abraham was willing and he was obedient. God tells him to go and to take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I tell you. Verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning. We are not told that he delayed or he had a discussion with Sarah. He was willing and obedient. And he said, you know, yeah, this is the only child. God says, I want the very thing that you love so much. I want that. And God will usually come to us and say, give me that, empty your bank account, give me this amount of money, take that and do this. Oh, but we want to negotiate with God. Lord, I got to pray about it. Who are you going to pray to when he is the one who wants to bless you? Many times we miss, you know, opportunities of God to bless us because we are trying to hold on tightly to that very thing. You know, sometimes you may have gone out and bought shoes and God says, well, those are not your shoes. Give them to your pastor, or give them to your pastor's wife, or give, you know, do this, take that and give it this way. Sometimes you'll be like, oh, praise Jesus, this money came in, I need this. And the Lord says, no, I need it. You take that and you sow that into the ministry. Well, but you want to hold on to, oh, but Lord, if I give this, what will happen? Well, let me tell you, that's where you miss your breakthrough, because God is always thinking about blessing you and increasing you. And we see this in Abraham's life after he went and he took his son. And in fact, his son said to him, you know, father, you know, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where is the lamb for the offering? And he said, God will provide. He trusted in God. He leaned not unto his own understanding. He trusted in God and he went and took his son. He was getting ready. He was prepared to kill this son because he had to be a burnt offering. So he was prepared to kill him and to burn him. The Bible tells us that when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. Then he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. Now I'm thinking, this boy is able to talk. He's able to carry stuff with him and walk with the father. So it wasn't an easy feat for him to get him and tie him up and say, you come, little boy, let me tie you up. No, I'm sure he fought him, kicking his legs and whatever. And you can imagine he's over 100. But, you know, Abraham was able to tie him and bound him and put him, lay him on the altar where he was going to getting ready to, you know, kill him so he could burn him up as an offering, because that's what God told him to do. He was following, you know, God's instructions to the T. He was willing and obedient to do whatever. He didn't discuss it with his wife, Sarah. Didn't take time to waste time. Well, let me pray about it, Lord. I know you say you want this child, but really, this is the only child after people have laughed at us in this old age, and now you want us to give him back to you. No, Lord, let me take time to fast and pray and hear from you. No, he didn't waste time. He was willing and he was obedient. Then, you know, we know the story of how the angel called out to him and said, you know, there's the ram. God has already provided, you know, there's a ram in the thicket, and he got that. So after all this, then the Lord speaks to Abraham, and verse 15, he says, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I've sworn by myself, says the Lord, that since you have done this and have not withheld from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore, and your seed, your heir, will possess the gate of his enemy, and in your seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves, because you have heard and obeyed my voice. And then we are told, so Abraham returned back to his servants, and they went back home to where Abraham lived. Well, basically, Abraham obeyed. He was willing and he was obedient. Now, remember, this is a man who's already extremely wealthy. But then God now is saying, because you were willing and obedient to sacrifice, to give me a sacrificial offering of the very thing you love, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So God, again, he's wanting to bless Abraham more and more and more. Now, this takes us to Psalm 115. I want to show you what God said to us in Psalm 115. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. So you see that? God is always mindful of us, regardless of what you may be going through today, regardless of the challenge you may have been facing, whether it's a new challenge or it's something you've been facing. You know, on God's part, he's mindful of you. It's our part. We are not willing. We're not obedient. Maybe he's told you to do something and you haven't done the very last thing that he told you to do. And so he's waiting on you to do what he told you to do. He may have told you to sow. He may have told you to do something, but you never did it. And so right now you feel like you're stuck. And there you are thinking, well, why doesn't God want to bless me? No, God wants to bless you. And I can prove this to you. I've just shown you with what he did with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. But I can also prove to you that through this psalm, God wants to bless you. He's mindful of us. What does that mean? We are always on his mind. When the Bible tells us he's mindful, it means that regardless of what we're going through, God is always thinking about us. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about ways to bless you. He's thinking about, you know, ways to show you favor. He's thinking about how he can let his goodness pass before you. But the thing that might be hindering is your disobedience. The thing that might be blocking the goodness of God from manifesting in your life is, have you been willing and obedient to do what he has told you to do? A lot of times Christians are not willing to follow through with everything that God has told us from the Word of God. The Bible is our manual for living a good life, you know, and there's so many things that God has told us to do, but there's some things that, you know, you don't want to do. You feel like, well, I don't want to do this, Lord, but it's not a question of you want to. You have to just be willing and obedient to do it. Otherwise, you will not eat the good of the land. And so we are told here that God has been mindful of us. The very next line says, he will bless us. So God is thinking about us. He's thinking of different ways of blessing us. It talks about he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who reverently, worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. So, you know, you can be somebody who is in a village, or you can be somebody, but if you are, you know, if you reverently, worshipfully, fearfully, reverence and worship then the Lord, you fear the Lord, meaning that you walk in obedience to what he tells you to do, he wants to bless you. He's looking for somebody to bless. He's not only trying to bless, you know, preachers. He's not only trying to bless those, you know, who live in nice houses. No, he wants to bless every person from great to small. He wants to do that. You know, he says both small and great. God wants to bless us. We are always on his mind. Then not only does he want to bless us, but he wants to also increase us, because it tells us in verse 14, may the Lord give you increase more and more. So he wants to increase you more and more. So yes, you've already been blessed right now, but he wants to increase you. So increase is on his mind. You know, he doesn't want you lacking. He doesn't want anything missing in your life. He doesn't want anything broken. He wants to increase you. He doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want sickness and disease to steal your money from you, to rob from you. No, he wants to increase you. Not only does he want to increase you, but he's also thinking about your children, you and your children. He wants to bless your business and increase you in your business. He wants to increase not only you, but your children who might be rebellious, but he still wants to increase them as well. And so the Bible is telling us that God desires to do these things for us if we are willing and obedient. Amen. He wants to bless you more and more, you and your children. And he says, may you be blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Again, blessing is on God's mind. He wants to bless us. He wants the blessing to rest richly upon our homes so that the blessing can cause us to be rich. The Bible in Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So God wants to give us this blessing that can cause wealth, can cause abundance to come into our lives. In Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's he that gives you that power. There is ability. He wants to give you ability to get wealth. So why would God want to give you ability to get wealth if he's not, you know, a good God? He's a great God. He's a good God. Regardless of what is going on in your life, it doesn't change the fact that God is a good God and he is mindful of you. He's thinking about you. Even right now, you may have committed the most atrocious sin right now, but God is still thinking about you. He just wants you to be willing and to be obedient to his call, to what he has said to you and I, what he has told us to do. Amen. He's mindful of us. He's blessed. He wants to bless us. You know, there are certain things that we have to do, of course, to be able to put ourselves in position to experience the blessing and the increase that God wants to wants us to have in our lives. And so it's so important that we position ourselves correctly. You know, the children of Israel, God spoke to them right from the time that they were before they left Egypt. And one of the things was they had to be willing. They had to be obedient to God in order for them to see, you know, in order for them to eat the good of the land. In Job chapter 36 and verse 11, the Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. Again, right there, if they obey and serve him. You see, so there's willingness, there's obedience. You know, when you obey God and you do what he has called you to do, is you do what he's telling you to do, that's serving him. You know, when the Lord says, bring your tithes and offerings, all your tithes and offerings into my house, and you put God first. You don't put God last. You know, you make sure that before you pay anything, before you pay your bills and all, you make sure you give God what belongs to him, your obedience. Tithing is about obedience. You're obedient to God. Well, then, you know, he says if you obey, when we bring our tithes to and offerings to God, that is our service. God, we're showing God that we're obedient, but we're also serving him. And then he says they shall spend their days in prosperity. He tells us, give and it shall be given unto you. So when we give, it is given back unto us. When we do what he's told us to give, well, then we are serving him. We are obedient to his word. When God says, you know, forgive those who have wronged you, well, when we forgive, we are serving the Lord. When we hold on to that unforgiveness, well, it blocks us. It hinders our blessing. It stops God from being able to do what he needs to do for us, because on his mind, he is wanting to bless us. He's wanting to increase us more and more. You know, he wants to bless us abundantly. He wants to have his goodness and his blessings to overtake us. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy 28, when you read about all the blessings that, you know, from verse 3, because verse 1 and verse 2, it says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high, above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. So it starts telling us from verse 3 all the way through verse 14 how, you know, the blessings will overtake. Well, what does that mean? It means that you'll be blessed, but more blessings will still be chasing after you. Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, here God is telling us in another way how much he wants to do for us. These blessings, he wants these blessings to overtake us. You have to understand what that means. It means that you've already been blessed, but then, you know, as you do what God has said for you to do, you know, he's got blessings. He's blessing you, but then there'll be other blessings. He'll be increasing you, and you'll be growing and increasing more and more. And as you're increasing more and more, there's other blessings that are going to overtake you because you cannot outgive God. amen, as you continue to be willing and obedient to him, he will do more and more and more for you. It's like, you know, in the natural, when you have children, in the natural, you tell them do something and they ignore it. Do something, they don't do it. As a parent, you don't want to bless them. You don't want to do much for them because you're like, why are you not listening to me? I asked you to do this. You didn't do it. You're not really at that moment feeling like, well, you know what? Let me take my son shopping, or let me take them, you know, let me buy them a car, or let me do this. They've been disobedient. And so you are usually upset because they're disobedient. Well, it's the same thing with God. When we are disobedient to his word, we are disobedient to his command. Well, it doesn't please God. It doesn't please us as parents in the natural. So why would it please God that we, his children, ignore everything he's telling us to do? But when we open the Bible, when we do what, and we are willing, and you say, Lord, I am so willing to do what, you know, what you want me to do, no matter what it is, no, you know, regardless of the price that I have to pay, I am willing to do it, Lord, and I'll be obedient, regardless of how hard it is, or it may seem hard at the time. But when we do it, it's not that hard, but it seems hard. You know, when you're about to walk through it, it seems hard. But as you walk through it, he's walking with you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never let you down. We're never alone. The Holy Spirit is right here with us. We talk to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to do this. Holy Spirit, help me, show me. The Lord is telling us that he can, you know, he will do what needs to be done, you know, for he'll do for us whatever needs to be done. And he will help us. He will be there with us. There's so many things God has told us that he will do, but we are the ones who block the blessings. He wants to be mindful to us. He wants us to, you know, he wants to bless us. He wants the blessing to overtake us. So obedience is what opens the door to supernatural increase. And, you know, we see this time and time again through the word that God demonstrated this to his people time and time again. Now, it's not only referring to obedience to the written word, but it's also to the specific word that God speaks to you as an individual. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. The little things that God talks to you about, stop doing this. This is sin. Stop talking this way and stop acting that way. Stop doing this. Stop going this way. You know, those little things that he tells you to do, you need to listen to him. You know, don't argue with God. You know, you need to listen to the Lord. You know, and then in the big things, when he tells you do this, do that, don't waste time. Oh, Lord, you know what? Let me pray about it. Pray to who? You know, be quick to give God thanksgiving. You know, in the Bible, we see many times that people were willing to sacrifice. You know, when you read even in the Exodus, how Moses, now after he'd taken come out with the children of Israel and they were in the wilderness, his father-in-law came to meet up with him. His father-in-law wasn't even there in Egypt. He brought Moses, his wife and children, and they came to meet up with Moses, because he had been on assignment. So now he's bringing the wife and the children back to him. And when they met up with Moses and they talked, the father-in-law didn't say, oh, I'm just going to go back home because I've dropped off your wife and kids. No, he actually brought a sacrifice. He came and said, I will go and sacrifice with you to the Lord. He brought offerings. He brought sacrificial offering to God. You know, this was a man who was grateful that his son-in-law had been kept out there and that they're able to meet up again. And now he's bringing an offering to the Lord. When Jesus healed one of those 10 lepers, he said to him, go and show yourself to the priest after the order of Moses. Well, he needed to bring an offering of thanksgiving. Usually we're so quick to ask God to do stuff for us, but when he does that, we are not quick to give him thanks through our giving. We don't want to give him a thanksgiving offering. We say, well, Lord, you know, I already gave you when I was asking for you to do this, and so now I don't need to give you a thanksgiving offering. That's why we miss it a lot of times. But you see, it's in us doing those things. He delights in us showing that we are grateful for what he's doing for us. And so when we position ourselves correctly, then God begins to do more and more and more for us. Amen. And so first and foremost, you have to put God's word first place in your life. As you do that, you'll find that you'll be planted, you'll be rooted. You know, in Deuteronomy 8, verse 7, in fact, if you read verse 6, chapter 6 and chapters 8, even all 28, you'll find that God said, you know, in verse 2, actually, 20, he says, if you'll keep my blessings, if you'll keep my commandments, these blessings will overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord. So if you pay attention, if you are willing and obedient to God's voice,
Watch and see how the blessing will come. That need that you have will no longer be a need. You know, that situation that you're dealing with will no longer be a situation. God desires to bless you and to increase you more and more and more. And so I thank God for you all for this week, and I pray that these teachings that I've shared with you this week will help you, and you will actually do what the word says. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to come before you again to say thank you, Father. We know that you're always mindful of us, O Lord God. We know that you want to bless us. You want to increase us more and more and more. And so, Lord, we just come before you to ask for forgiveness for those times when we have not obeyed we haven't been willing and obedient to do what you have called us to do. And so we repent of that sin and we ask for forgiveness right now. We don't want this sin to hinder us from receiving our blessing, and we don't want it to hinder our prayers from reaching you, Lord. And so we say thank you, Father, for keeping us on your mind. Thank you for wanting to bless us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for increase more and more in our lives. We give you praise, Lord God, and we this day make a commitment to position ourselves to receive all that you have ordained for us to receive in this lifetime. We give you all the glory, Lord. We say thank you for increasing us, meeting our need, and we thank you for blessing even our children and increasing them more and more. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and it is in Jesus' name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, you all have a blessed and prosperous weekend. By God's grace, we'll speak again next week. Bye-bye.